The passage we are studying today is taken from Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Galatians is the book that we are studying in our worship services in the afternoon. And we'll be today in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You can find it printed in your bulletins, or you can use your Bibles that you have in front of you. This is the word of God. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the day set by the Father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those that by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your will you revealed yourself to us through your word and your plan of salvation. And we thank you also that you sent the Spirit of your Son, the Holy Spirit, who is in us and give us understanding of your word. May you help us, Lord, as we consider these verses, to understand, Lord, the message that you deliver to the churches of Galatia, but that you are delivering to the churches around the world, the message of faith, the message of salvation. Help us to grow in this understanding so that we will be able to experience the joy of salvation as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can understand the message of the gospel, the content of the message of the gospel. You can understand that we are saved by grace, that you are saved by trusting in Jesus for salvation. And you can profess this and be able to articulate this with your mouth clearly, that people can see it and can hear it, and it's true in your heart that you believe it, and yet struggle to experience the joy of salvation. You can understand that the only hope that you have for today and the future and eternity is based on your faith in Christ, and still struggle to rely and rest in what Christ has done and attempt to do things on your own in order to please God. And I don't think that that's so uncommon among us as believers, because when we go deep in our hearts, we start to find out that though these doctrines and this faith is rooted in our hearts, we continue to struggle throughout our life to experience these spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. And my hope today is that as we look at these verses, we will see it from a distance, thinking like this was a challenge that the Galatians had when they experienced the influence of the Judaizers, who were a group of people that came to them after Paul had preached the gospel and were teaching them that they needed to do works in order to be saved. My hope is that we won't see that from the distance, thinking that this is not our problem today. But as we look at these verses, we will meditate and look inside our hearts. What are some of the ways in which, though we might believe and confess that Jesus is our Lord and that salvation is through Jesus alone, we might still struggle to rest in that promise. We might still attempt to earn God's favor in our own works. And this is what Paul is doing in these verses. Actually, Paul's main point here in these verses is to teach us that to rely on the works of the law is wrong. That we cannot rely on the works of the law in order to be saved. That we cannot rely on our own works to stand right before God. And he does that by using a metaphor, using an illustration that was very common, very clear for the people at that time, something that we'll try to work together from these verses, especially verses 1 and 2. And we will see how this metaphor is applied to the Galatians and to us today. So there are four things that I like us to see from these verses. First, we will look at what is Paul's metaphor, the illustration that he's using to make his point. Remember, his point is that we cannot rely on the works of the law to be saved. And we will see what is the general application that Paul gives to this metaphor, how this metaphor is applied to all generations. And then we will see how Paul is applying this teaching in particular to the Galatian church with the struggles that they have. And finally, we will finish looking at how this is applicable to us today. So let us look at the metaphor first. It says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. Though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the day set by his father. What Paul described here was something very common in his culture. There will be a wealthy person who will have his child under the care of a slave. We studied that last week. They have this name, paidagogos, which was basically a boy leader. It was another slave in his household who would take care of his child and would help his child to get to school and back home from school and to remind him of proper manners, things that he should or should not do when he was around people. Then what we are seeing here is that Paul is telling you and telling us that this heir, as long as he is a child, is no different to a slave. This is because he did not enjoy the privilege of, let's say, being free and giving orders or deciding even about his own agenda or what he will do during the day. He depended on another slave or on a slave for his decisions. Therefore, that makes him just as another slave. He says that he was under a guardian and managers until the day set for his father. We don't know exactly what would be the day set for his father, but at least in Roman culture, a child would be under a guardian until he was 14 years old. And after that, he won't be under that guardian anymore, but at least until he was 25, he will not inherit the state of his father. So he will have always people supervising him, and he was almost as another slave. Now let's look at Paul's application. How is Paul? Paul is quoting this metaphor, and how is he applying it to talk about God's plan of redemption? He says, in the same way, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. There is a sentence here that needs some explanation. First, he's talking about we as children, and that we were enslaved of the elementary principles of the world. I think that the sentence that we need to understand in order to understand everything that Paul is talking about here is what are the elementary principles of the world? What are the elementary principles of the world? And there are differing interpretations or meanings for that word that is stokie, that is translated here as elementary principles of the world. But I want to focus in one only, which I believe that is clear from the context of the book and from the context of the text that we have in front of us. Remember, Paul, throughout the letters of Galatians, has been helping the Galatians to realize that they cannot depend on works of the law for salvation, that they can only depend on the work, the complete work of Christ on the cross. And maybe you might remember what's the reason, maybe you are new to this topic that we are studying. The reason why he's doing that is because there was a group of teachers that came to the churches that he planted, and they were teaching those believers who have trusted in Jesus for salvation that Jesus alone was not enough, that they needed to keep the law of God, they needed to keep all the sacrificial system, they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. Then, that's the context of what Paul is addressing in the book of Galatians. He is reteaching the Galatians that they need to go back to trust in Jesus alone. So the issue is between the law and grace, between the law and faith in Jesus. In fact, if you would look at the previous chapter, Paul will use two metaphors to describe the law. One is that the law was like a guardian, like this paedagogos, this man who would take care of the child until he was mature, or that the law was a prison. The law was not the key out of the prison. The law was the prison itself. So that by itself is teaching you or letting you know that Paul actually here, when he talks about the elementary principles of the world, he's referring to the law. You were a slave to the elementary principles of the world, is you were a slave to the law. Something that makes it more clear is when you look at verses 4 and 5. Look at it with me. But when the fullness of time hath come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. The word redeem refers to a payment that is made, a payment to set a slave free. So God the Father sent Jesus to redeem, to pay for those who were under the law in order for them to be set free. So that will point you back. You see, it says that you were a slave in verse 2 of the elementary principles, and Christ comes to redeem you from the law. It's letting you know that is what is actually the elementary principles is actually the law. Remember, God gave the law of God. God gave his law to the people of Israel, not for their salvation. He had given them a promise through Abraham that through faith they will be saved, but he gave the law to reveal to them what was their condition, that they were sinners. Now let's look at then with this understanding that the elementary principles of the world is referring to the law, what Paul means when he's applying the metaphor or explaining the metaphor that he uses in verses 1 and 2. He says in verse 3, when we were children, we were slaves to the elementary principles of the world. He's making you think and realize that what he's saying is when you were under the law, or people in God's people in general were under the law, they were under that guardian that was the law. But when Christ came, which is at the appointed time of God, refers to the moment when God has sent his son, is pointing to that moment of maturity of the child. The moment when he is no under a guardian anymore. Paul's point here of what Paul is trying to make them realize is this. Nobody in Paul's time who was that child who was under a guardian until he was mature will want to go back to be under that guardian after he was old enough to be in charge of his own life. And that's what Paul is saying here. The law served a purpose during that time until the coming of Christ. But when Christ came, the law was fulfilled in Jesus. Then he says, and because, in verses, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is actually referring to the work of the Holy Spirit in any person that actually makes him realize that there is a God and that he can call this God Father because he has trusted in Jesus. So Paul's conclusion for his metaphor is what you see in verse 7. He said, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Remember, Paul is speaking to the Galatians. He's saying, you cannot go back to rely on the law because it will be almost as if you were trying to go back to the time when you were under a guardian. And nobody will do that. And if you are a son, he says, you are an heir through God. So what we have here described in verses 3 to 4 is actually the redemptive plan of salvation of God. Remember, he gave the promise to Abraham. For 130 years afterwards, he gave the law to Moses. And the law was to reveal to man that he was a sinner, and it was also to point to Christ. Once Christ came, the law was fulfilled in Christ. Now let's look at the third part, which is Paul speaks directly to the Galatians. He says in verse 8, formerly when you did not know God, you were a slave of those that by nature are no gods. Who were the Galatians? The Galatians were no Jews who have the law of God. The Galatians were people who worship idols. They have their pagan gods. And what Paul is reminding them is of their former way of living. They worship idols. They worship other gods who are no gods. You see, for example, in 1 Corinthians 8:4, that Paul tells the Corinthians, there is no God but one. And also in 1 Corinthians 10:20, that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. Therefore, the former life of the Galatians is that they were worshiping false gods. They were, in fact, slaves of demons. But Paul says, but now you have come to know God, or rather be known by God. And this is when Paul came and preached the gospel to them and declared to them that the God of the Bible is the God of the universe. And they understood that they were accountable to this God and they needed to trust in Jesus. But Paul says, it's not just that you came to know God, but God knows you. Then he challenged him with this question. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world who slave you and want to be once more? Remember what Paul is saying to them is, look at the metaphors that I already gave you. Will you go back when you were 10 years old and be under that guardian that was not kind to you, where you didn't have all the freedom? Or will you enjoy what you have right now, which is your freedom in Christ? And then he says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. He's saying that now you are following the teachings of the Judaizers, following all this tradition. You know what is shocking and interesting in these verses is that Paul is comparing legalism with these former pagan religions that they followed before. That to be a legalist or to think that you can earn God's approval on your own is as bad as worshiping idols. This is what Paul is telling the Galatians. And you see that even more clear when he says, I am afraid I may have labor over you in vain. It is that if you trust in you, in your works, in what you can do to please God for your salvation, is almost, or it is in fact, that you are not trusting in Jesus, who is the one and the only one who can declare you righteous. Now, how is this applicable to us? You can go back to verses 3 through 8 or through 7 that tell us about God's plan of redemption. God gave the law, then he sent Jesus Christ who fulfilled the law. This is redemption history. But for each one of us, individually, what we see in these verses is also applicable. There was a moment, if you are a believer, when each one of us was a slave to the elementary principles of the world. Whether you knew the law of God or not, you learn from Romans chapter 2 that your conscience was accusing you, proving you that you were also under the law. So there was a moment when you were a slave under the elementary principles of the world, the law that was accusing you. But as the fullness of time came, when God sent his Son to the world, there was a moment when God appointed the Son, Jesus Christ, to come to you. And that was when somebody shared the gospel with you, and you heard the good news. As the Son came into the world, the Son came into your life. And he came to do what? To redeem you. To set you free. To set you free from the law that was the one who was accusing you. And what did you receive as a result of that? You became a child of God. It says that we might receive adoptions as sons. And now because you are sons, each one of us have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. The one who opened our eyes to see the truth of the gospel is the one who continued to work in us, making us and enabling us to be able to pray, Abba Father. Therefore you are, Paul is saying to all of us, you are no slaves, but sons. And if sons, we are heirs. But let's go back to what I said when we started. Sometimes we can believe this truth. We can confess them with our mouths. We can trust in Jesus for salvation and yet struggle to experience the fact that we are sons. Here is a quote from Tim Keller about this topic. He says, Christians might to some degree fail to experience the freedom and joy of their salvation. Christians can continue to live day by day as slaves instead of adopted sons of God that they are. Though they are rich in the gospel, adopted children of God with complete and direct access to the Father, we can go back to relating to him only through our record, our moral merits. It is though we are given a gift, but we give it back to the giver so that we can strive to earn it. And you see, brothers and sisters, that even though you might be a believer and you can trust in Jesus and you can confess that with your mouth and you can still struggle to experience the joy of salvation, to experience the freedom that you have in Christ. And we demonstrate that and we can realize of that when we strive to please God with our works, not realizing that we are to trust in the complete work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is for you as well. If you are not yet a believer, it's an invitation that you have from the gospel, that today you might be enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but Christ has come to redeem you only if you trust in him for salvation. If you put your faith in him, he will make you righteous before God. He will set you free, and he will welcome you as one of his sons and daughters. Therefore, you will not be a slave anymore, but you will be a child of God. You will be a son. And if you are a son, you will be an heir of his kingdom. You will enjoy eternal life from now till eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have of being called your people, your children, through the work of Christ, who redeemed us on the cross, who paid the price that we deserve to pay for our sins. We thank you that you have saved us from ourselves and that you have rescued us from the slavery that we have to our sins. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to fully experience this joy of salvation, that as we struggle with experiencing what we understand as the truth of your word, that we are safe in Christ alone, that we will be able to experience that. And we pray for our friends who still don't know you, that they will trust in you for salvation as well, that they will come to faith and that Jesus will come to their lives, and that you will send also to them the Holy Spirit that will empower them to call you Abba Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.